This is the reading for May 11th. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not proud. I don't look down on others. I don't do great things, and I can't do miracles. But I am calm and quiet, like a baby with its mother. I am at peace, like a baby with its mother. People of Israel, put your hope in the Lord, now and forever. 1 Samuel chapter 23. Someone told David, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and stealing grain from the threshing floors." David asked the Lord, "Should I go and fight these Philistines?" The Lord answered him, "Go, attack them, and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "We're afraid here in Judah. We will be more afraid if we go to Keilah, where the Philistine army is." David again asked the Lord, and the Lord answered, "Go down to Keilah. I will help you defeat the Philistines." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought the Philistines and took their cattle. David killed many Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. Now Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the holy vest with him when he came to David at Keilah. Someone told Saul that David was now at Keilah. Saul said, "God has handed David over to me. He has trapped himself because he has entered a town with gates and bars." Saul called all his army together for battle, and they prepared to go down to Keilah to attack David and his men. David learned Saul was making evil plans against him, so he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the holy vest." David prayed, "Lord God of Israel, I have heard that Saul plans to come to Keilah to destroy the town because of me. Will the leaders of Keilah hand me over to Saul? Will Saul come down to Keilah as I heard? Lord God of Israel, tell me, your servant." The Lord answered, "Saul will come down." Again David asked, "Will the leaders of Keilah hand me and my men over to Saul?" The Lord answered, "They will." So David and his 600 men left Keilah and kept moving from place to place. When Saul found out that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. David stayed in the desert hideouts and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Every day Saul looked for David, but the Lord did not surrender David to him. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul was coming to kill him. But Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and strengthened his faith in God. Jonathan told him, "Don't be afraid, because my father won't touch you. You will be king of Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made an agreement before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David stayed at Horesh. The people from Ziph went to Saul at Gibeah and told him, "David is hiding in our land. He's at the hideouts of Horesh on the hill of Hakalah, south of Jeshimon. Now, our king, come down any time you want. It's our duty to hand David over to you." Saul answered, "The Lord bless you for helping me. Go and learn more about him. Find out where he is staying and who has seen him there. I have heard that he is clever. Find all the hiding places he uses and come back and tell me everything. Then I'll go with you. If David is in the area, I will track him down among all the families in Judah." So they went back to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the desert of Maon in the desert area south of Jeshimon. Saul and his men went to look for David, but David heard about it and went down to a rock and stayed in the desert of Maon. When Saul heard that, he followed David into the desert of Maon. Saul was going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side. They were hurrying to get away from Saul because Saul and his men were closing in on them. But a messenger came to Saul saying, "Come quickly, the Philistines are attacking our land." So Saul stopped chasing David and went to challenge the Philistines. That is why people call this place Rock of Parting. David also left the desert of Maon and stayed in the hideouts of En-Gedi. 1 Samuel chapter 24. After Saul returned from chasing the Philistines, he was told, "David is in the desert of En-Gedi." So he took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and began looking for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. Saul came to the sheep pens beside the road. A cave was there, and he went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were hiding far back in the cave. The men said to David, "Today is the day the Lord spoke of when he said, 'I will give your enemy over to you. Do anything you want with him.'" Then David crept up to Saul and quietly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Later, David felt guilty because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, "May the Lord keep me from doing such a thing to my master. Saul is the Lord's appointed king. I should not do anything against him because he is the Lord's appointed king." David used these words to stop his men. He did not let them attack Saul. Then Saul left the cave and went his way. When David came out of the cave, he shouted to Saul, "My master and king." Saul looked back, and David bowed face down on the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when people say David wants to harm you? You have seen something with your own eyes today. The Lord put you in my power in the cave. They said I should kill you, but I was merciful. I said, I won't harm my master because he is the Lord's appointed king. My father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but I didn't kill you. Now understand and know, I am not planning any evil against you. I did nothing wrong to you, but you are hunting me to kill me. May the Lord judge between us, and may he punish you for the wrong you have done to me. But I am not against you. There is an old saying, evil things come from evil people. But I am not against you. Whom is the king of Israel coming out against? Whom are you chasing? It's as if you are chasing a dead dog or a flea. May the Lord be our judge and decide between you and me. May he support me and show that I am right. May he save me from you." When David finished saying these words, Saul asked, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And he cried loudly. He said, "You are a better man than I am. You have been good to me, but I have done wrong to you. You told me what good things you did. The Lord handed me over to you, but you did not kill me. If a person finds his enemy, he doesn't just send him on his way, does he? May the Lord reward you because you were good to me today. I know you will surely be king, and you will rule the kingdom of Israel. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill my descendants and that you won't wipe out my name from my father's family." So David made the promise to Saul. Then Saul went back home, and David and his men went up to their hideout.
Chapter 2.
3 days later, a wedding took place in the city of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples had been invited too. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They're out of wine." Jesus said to her, "Why did you come to me? My time has not yet come." His mother told the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." 6 stone water jars were there. They were used for Jewish purification rituals. Each jar held 18 to 27 gallons. Jesus told the servers, "Fill the jars with water." The servers filled the jars to the brim. Jesus said to them, "Pour some and take it to the person in charge." The servers did as they were told. The person in charge tasted the water that had become wine. He didn't know where it had come from, although the servers who had poured the water knew. The person in charge called the groom and said to him, "Everyone serves the best wine first. When people are drunk, the host serves cheap wine, but you have saved the best wine for now." Cana in Galilee was the place where Jesus began to perform miracles. He made his glory public there, and his disciples believed in him. After this, Jesus, his mother, brothers, and disciples went to the city of Capernaum and stayed there for a few days. The Jewish Passover was near, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. He found those who were selling cattle, sheep, and pigeons in the temple courtyard. He also found money changers sitting there. He made a whip from small ropes and threw everyone with their sheep and cattle out of the temple courtyard. He dumped the money changers' coins and knocked over their tables. He told those who sold pigeons, "Pick up this stuff and get it out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that Scripture said, "Devotion for your house will consume me." The Jews reacted by asking Jesus, "What miracle can you show us to justify what you're doing?" Jesus replied, "Tear down this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days." The Jews said, "It took 46 years to build this temple. Do you really think you're going to rebuild it in 3 days?" But the temple Jesus spoke about was his own body. After he came back to life, his disciples remembered that he had said this, so they believed the Scripture and this statement that Jesus had made. While Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people believed in him because they saw the miracles that he performed. Jesus, however, was wary of these believers. He understood people and didn't need anyone to tell him about human nature. He knew what people were really like.